Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome, welcome. It's Tuesday, and it's time for It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil Umar, and our co-host is with us this evening, and she is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. We thank you for spending these 2 hours with us, and we pray that we will all find it very beneficial. So we'll get started with our program. As always, we open up with Al-Fatiha, seeking Allah's guidance as we explore these topics and bring you as much information as we can so that we can all improve our conditions and make our lives better with Allah's help. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And in English we are saying, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. So again, we thank you for being here with us this evening, and our co-host is in the queue, and she has pressed 1, so we're opening the mic, welcoming her to the show. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome, welcome.
Oh, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Yes, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Well, we have our work cut out for us this evening. If you were with us last week, what we have been doing, we embarked on this back in March, where we're looking at the top 20 reasons why couples divorce in the United States. And we're taking those top 20 reasons and going into the Holy Quran, Allah's guidance on these topics. So last week, we had two big topics that we addressed or attempted to address. And one, of course, was domestic violence. And then the other was finance. So I wasn't quite so happy with my particular presentation on domestic violence, because we're looking into the Holy Quran to see what guidance Allah gives us on this topic. So I had quite a bit to say about it myself personally. But what I want to do and how I want to correct this is go into the Holy Quran and see what guidance we have in the Holy Quran on this topic. So inshallah, I will use this time that we have right now for the recap to make that correction, inshallah. So of course, the ayat that we always look at, we're addressing this topic, is Surah 4, Ayat 34. And this is Surah Al-Nisa, the fourth chapter, and the 34th verse. So I want to start out by reading that ayat again, and then we'll go into what Allah says to us about specific phrasing that we find in this ayat, inshallah, when we seek Allah's guidance and Allah's help with our understanding as we explore this topic. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And in English, it says, men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given the one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient, and guard in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. As to those women on whose part ye fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them first, refuse to share their beds, and last, beat them lightly. But if they return to obedience, seek not against them means of annoyance, for Allah is most high, great above you all. So in reading this ayat, the Arabic word that is interpreted into English that says beat them lightly is, okay, I'm isolating it here on the page. Oh, I'm sorry. So give me 1 second. So here we are. This is the Arabic word that is on the page. Wabdibuhun. Wabdibuhun. Okay. And the root word of this Arabic phrase is daraba. Daraba. So Allah bless me to look this word up, and in the process I found the site QuranX.com, and it's a site where you can go to analyze root words and the meanings of root words, and it will also give you a whole list of where this root word is used in the Holy Quran and how it is used in the Holy Quran. So this is a very useful tool for those of us who need to study root words and need to study and break down words. And I'll repeat that website. It's Quran, the letter X, all one word, .com. And you can analyze root words here. And again, it tells you where this root word is found in the Holy Quran and how it is used. And the dictionaries used on this site are the Arabic English Lexicon by Edward William Lane, published 1876, and the Habib Anthony Salomon, an Advanced Learner's Arabic English Dictionary, published 1889. Okay, so when I put in the word, the root word, da-ra-ba, we have over 50 references here of where this word is used in the Holy Quran and how it is translated. Okay, and just checking to see if anyone needs me to repeat this website, press 1 and I'll repeat it now so you can write it down. Okay. All right. So we'll continue. So the root word daraba, daraba, is used in the Holy Quran 3 times as a noun and over 49 times as a verb. And the first reference given is Surah 2, Ayat 273, and it is used in that ayat. Instead of reading the whole ayat, I'm just going to read they have it in black of how Daraba is used in the ayat, particular ayat. It is used to move about, Daraba. And in Surah 37, ayat 93, is used differently, but still as a noun. And it reads, then he turned upon them, striking with the right hand. Okay. Surah 47, ayat 4, again, is used again as a noun. And is used again as strike. Then strike the next. So these last two seem to be used in battle or in some type of conflict, or and it's interpreted that way. But as a verb, daraba is used to set forth. I'm not going to read all of the ayats because that would be too much, but I'm just going to highlight how daraba is used in the Holy Quran. To set forth, again, is used to strike with your staff when Moses was told to strike the rock with his staff. And is used in the past tense, and were struck on them, humiliation. Humiliation fell on them, was struck on them. Okay? And in Surah 2, ayat 73, you know, where it was instructed to strike the animal with a piece of flesh. Again, is used that way. And again, struck on them with humiliation. Okay? And in Surah 3 is used, they traveled. They traveled. In Surah 4, ayat 94 is used, you go forth. You go forth in the way. Surah 4, ayat 101, you travel. Daraba is used, you travel. Surah 5, ayat 106, are traveling, you are traveling. Okay, and sets forth is used as Allah sets forth many times. And we put forth is interpreted as putting forth, sets forth. Every time I change, this is another ayat 60. Anyone that wants to link to this, just email us at halakha360@yahoo.com, and I'll be happy to send you the link to this specific page that I'm reading from. Surah 16, ayat 76, it says, Allah sets forth. Again, the next passage, and Allah sets forth. They put forth. In Surah 18, it's translated, and so we cast and set forth, and the next ayat, and so on and so forth, and present to them. It's also translated. And present to them. And this is the root word, okay? Daraba is set forth. And in Surah 24, ayat 31, Daraba, the root word, is translated, and let them draw. So they're drawing on themselves something. And let them stamp. Again, Allah sets forth. They set forth. We have set forth. Okay. We set forth. He sets forth. We have set forth again and set forth. And he sets forth. And we have set forth. Allah sets forth. We take away. Then should we take away, in ayat 43, in Surah 43, he sets up is presented with. They present it. Allah presents. So this is the root word daraba throughout the Holy Quran, where the meaning means to move away, to travel, something being put forth or put upon, presented with, much more than it does mean to strike. Okay, and this is important. And the last one on the list is traveling, and that's Surah 73, 20 through 21. Okay, so why do we say this? Because when we read these passages in the Holy Quran in the English, we don't believe that there are any mistakes in the Arabic of our Holy Quran, which is so why it's so important for us to study the Arabic, become familiar with the Arabic, learn how to look up terms and look up words in the Arabic so that we can get the best understanding of what is being said. So we wanted to look at this particular ayat in this way. Why do we do, I'll say me personally, I wanted to look at it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most gracious, most merciful, most gracious, most merciful. And Allah instructs us in the Holy Quran about on our conduct, ways that are peaceful, ways that are peaceful. Allah also instructs us in the Holy Quran that, you know, we have a prescription to defend ourselves and fight if we are attacked, or to resist oppression and to struggle and fight against oppression if we are trying to put, if we are being put in an oppressive state. So we have that in our Holy Quran as well. But when Allah speaks to us about our conduct in the Holy Quran, in Surah 6, Ayat 68, tells us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when thou seest men engaged in vain discourse about our signs, turn away from them unless they turn to a different thing. Satan ever makes thee forget. Then after recollection, sit not thou in the company of those who do wrong. So, again, Surah 4 speaks about the wife presenting ill conduct into the relationship. Okay? So, and Allah gives us step-by-step instructions, or gives mankind step-by-step instructions on how to deal with this. Okay? Admonish them, then refuse to share their beds, and then the final step in this is in the Holy Quran is presented as to physically stop them from doing it, to physically stop them from doing it. In this ayah, Allah instructs us to not sit with them, to move away from the situation, to move away from the situation. And also in Surah 2, Ayat 256, Allah tells us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. Whoever rejects evil and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks. And Allah heareth and knoweth all things. Allah lets us know truth stands out clear from error. Okay? So when it, Prophet Muhammad, when he had to deal with a situation where there was ill conduct, how did Allah instruct our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to handle this situation? And we find the answer to this in Surah 33, Ayat 28. Surah 33, Ayat 28. And it says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. O Prophet, say to thy consorts, if it be that ye desire the life of this world and its glitter, then come. I will provide for your enjoyment and set you free in a handsome manner. Alhamdulillah. And this and the surah where I just read in Al-Anam, Ayat 68, where Allah instructs us not to sit with those who, to remove ourselves from situations where the signs of Allah are being ridiculed, and where there is an engagement in vain discourse, we remove ourselves from this situation. So Allah has presented us with, gave Prophet Muhammad a clear argument to his consorts that if it is the life of this world that you want, then come. I will provide for your enjoyment and set you free in a handsome manner. So a clear argument was presented to them and stimulated the thought process, and it also let the consorts know that you may be in the position where you're being seduced by the shaitan. So now you have to make a choice. And they were full of regret and said, no, we don't want the life of this world. Full of regret and apologies. And, you know, they made the right choice. And, you know, that situation was squashed. And I think I'm going to study up more on that as well and see how much more I can find out about this particular situation. And, look into that a little deeper. So a clear choice was made. And Allah teaches us how to think in the Holy Quran, rational thoughts, knowing Allah, our Lord, and how he has addressed us in proper conduct, that there is no compulsion. Now, if you have to beat someone, first, the word beat and lightly in the same sentence, okay? Again, we're talking about the English translation. Should be addressed as well. Because if there is an address that has to be made, beaten lightly in the same sentence doesn't really work together so well. Okay, so inshallah, we pray that the learned among us can bring these things to fruition and to the forefront when there are these types of concerns in the English translation that can be addressed and looked at and sure be done to bring forth the best thereof. So Prophet Ibrahim, may Allah be pleased with him, also presented rational arguments to those who were worshiping idols in his time when he broke them and said, well, you know, this big one did it. You know, they said, well, you know, this idol can't move, can't speak. He said, here, this big one did it. Ask him. and they turn back and address him. You know, these idols can't move, can't speak, you know. And his argument was, why are you worshiping them? Presenting a rational argument. Okay? And this is also a form of striking, but striking the intellect. Striking the intellect with thoughts. Striking the intellect to bring truth to the matter. This is also striking too. And even in looking up the word striking, there are so many different definitions, even in English, okay? Causation, forcing something to happen to make a change, in addition to not just a physical blow, all right? So forcing a clearer thought to make a change is also striking. So when this is why our example of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is so important. Prophet Muhammad never physically hit any of his wives. Never, never came close. It is reported that our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, never even raised his voice or said a mean, harsh word in a mean, harsh tone to any of his wives. Okay? And Allah also instructs us in the Holy Quran to, in Surah 15, Ayat 88, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, strain not thine eyes wistfully at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them, nor grieve over them, but lower thy wing in gentleness to the believers. Lower thy wing in gentleness to the believers. This also lines up with peaceful and gentle correction and patience. And if that is not met, then we remove ourselves from the situation. And Surah Kafirun, Ayat 109, gives us the clear argument as well of how we should conduct ourselves. Once a clear argument has been made, once Quranic rationale and spiritual rationale has conduct and what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Kafirun, Surah 109, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And I'm just reading the English for the benefit of our radio audience who may not be Muslim. Say, O ye that reject faith, I worship not that which ye worship, nor will ye worship that which I worship. And I will not worship that which ye have been wont to worship, nor will ye worship that which I worship. To you be your way, and to me be mine. Again, we're removing ourselves from the situation where someone is persisting in wrongdoing or persisting in ill conduct. We remove ourselves from the situation because there is no compulsion in religion. So it's very important when we read English translation in the Holy Quran that may leave us to think that there is more to this meaning that we need to discover. We should seek and set out to analyze it, look at it, study it, and the guidance and the model that has been given to us of our Prophet Muhammad. And find the best solution and follow the best path thereof that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so if you're courting someone and interested in someone, this is an ayah to have a very good discussion on and look it up, study it as Allah instructs us to study, so that you can really understand. You know, I've true story, you know, we had at a gathering, and sister was walking around with a black eye. And I'm like, oh, what happened? She was an immigrant sister. She's like, oh, disagreement. And I'm like, oh, astaghfirullah. You know, it's... our understanding of our religion and understanding the motto of Prophet Muhammad is so important. It's so important to educate ourselves when it comes to our religion and the best manners that exemplify our religion and the best conduct that exemplify our religion. We are ambassadors for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Domestic violence, abuse has no place in our religion. A clear argument, truth stands out clear from falsehood. It's what Allah tells us. So I'm going to take Amin. All right. I have a caller in the queue. Before I go to the caller, Bina, did you have anything you wanted to share on this topic?
Well, basically, that's what I was coming in to say, is that we did have a caller. But that, yes, there are a couple of things I did want to address, but I'd like to hear from our caller since they've been waiting for a while.
Okay. All right. So we're going to 314-309. Thank you for your patience. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Am I being heard right now?
Yes, you are. Did you want to make a comment?
Well, I really didn't. I had pushed one earlier when you were saying something about, it's been quite a while ago, someone made to make a comment, but that has totally left my mind. But I thought
okay.
It said that it got off the host queue, so I apologize.
Oh, no problem at all. Well, if it comes back to mind, just press 1 and go out of the queue. If it comes back to mind, press 1 and come back in. We'd love to hear from you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're doing very good job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So press 1 on your phone and you'll go out of the queue. Okay. Alhamdulillah. So, Bina, your thoughts on this topic?
Yes, ma'am. You've made some very, very correct and on-point points, I would say, with what you've been saying regarding the words words and how they're used in the Quran. And our imam, our beloved imam, W. Dean Muhammad, may God be pleased with him, told us that the best dictionary for these words is the Quran. And going into the Quran,
mm-hmm.
as you did, to find how the word has been used. And that was just right on point. And I didn't really see anything from that you needed to correct from last week's show as far as that was concerned? Because even from your heart with good intentions, you still gave the same message that you gave tonight with all the, how do you say, I don't know the Arabic word for it, but the proof in the different ayats that you referenced spoke clear to the fact that, you know, Allah is the highest, the greatest, and he put these things in the Quran for us, for those who want to go deeper and understand what Allah is speaking to us and wanting to get the benefit from what Allah is speaking to us, then we go deeper as you did, looking up the words, and so proud of you for doing that. So,
alhamdulillah.
Yeah, the example of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, is the best example. Like you say, he didn't raise his voice, he didn't strike any of his wives, nor did he act that way with any other people. I mean, when in battle, he did what he had to do. But when it came to a person, he looked them straight in their eyes when they were speaking to them and gave everyone the most respect. It didn't matter who it was, from the worst, the lowest, to the highest person. So that's our example. And you're right. Education is the key. For the sister, may Allah forgive whomever it is who put the punishment on her, and she ended up with a black eye. That is why women need to be educated. They need to be educated to know what is proper. What is Allah saying to us? You know?
Yeah.
And even when it speaks in that ayat in 434 about the women's behavior, I mean, you've got to really be way out there, not a believer, to act the way that that the prescription is for you to even be spoken to harshly or reminded that, okay, you're out of line, okay, watch your tone or watch how you're speaking, or just bringing attention to the woman if her behavior is disrespectful or whatever, that a believer is not even going to go that far, or, you know, not going to go that far, not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to even get to where you are, you know, you don't share the same bed, usually, I mean, you really got to be way, I mean, really off your dean to get there, you know. And for someone to be putting up with you for, you know, in that manner, they're very patient.
Yes.
So we want to treat people the way we want to be treated, and in no way we'd be disrespectful that way. So we would not incur that type of behavior on ourselves. But you gave the best examples. And yes, it's in the conversation. It's like you can say something in a conversation that a person who's a believer who has good intentions, when they hear it, they know it's already in them because Allah put them in it, put it in us all. That, okay, that behavior should stop, and
yes.
So let's correct it, let's apologize, let's do what we need to do and go forward to keep the relationship good.
Yes.
So, inshallah. Inshallah. We have another caller that came in on the queue while I was speaking.
Okay, we're going to go to 334-419. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam to both of you, and this is Michael Hameen in Jacksonville, Florida. And in the early development of the community of Al-Islam under Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, there were those coming out of Jahiliyyah that even though the transition into the standards of Al-Islam was transitional, you know, and gradual, there were those that held on to weaknesses. And in the case of American Muslims, particularly African-American Muslims, you know, we've had, and this is not an excuse, this is just, you know, an observation, we've had certain conditioning. And for some, that conditioning has been very toxic. So the creation of a toxic personality and then acknowledging, you know, the religion of Al-Islam, coming in with those bad habits, the idea of abuse, and I've mentioned this before in terms of how because of the man's physical muscles, Allah gave the woman verbal muscles, or muscles in her tongue. And we have seen situations where the abuse nature in terms of disagreements or the male not seeing it the way the female wants them to see it, or the idea because of the civilizing nature of Western society, there's no fear in the woman, you know, in terms of being harmed or being out of line, because, you know, we've got police departments and other things, you know. So there are women out here, particularly those with, who decided to get motherhood before marriagehood, you know. And you see in these interactions on YouTube, I don't need a man, you know. And so if they should come into the marriage with that kind of relationship, you know, the level of disrespect potentially is going to be there. So I just want to add this to the conversation. You know, I'm not, well, I am kind of stirring stuff up maybe, but, you know, it's in terms of broadening the view. You know, and if I understand it correctly, there was a statistic that showed marital violence in a number of cases is a mutual issue. The woman's or the wife's disrespectful and disregardful behavior and disagreement versus the husband using his muscles, which is never accepted before the Allah gave the revelation to the wives of the prophet because of their bad behavior. The prophet just separated from all of them. You know, that's what the history shows. He didn't have to abuse them. He just left them alone. And I'll stop there.
Are you on mute, Lynn?
Yes, I was on mute. Thank you so much. And thank you. Thank you for those comments, Brother Michael. Those comments are very important. And again, as we were saying before, it's education that is needed.
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
A big issue, in my opinion, is what the Satan has done in terms of obscuring, and you know the word kafirun, that surah is addressing a behavior of covering things up, covering the truth up. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, ayyuha al-kafirun, oh you who covers things up, covers up the truth. You know, and our mm-hmm. our roles as men and women have been covered up. There used to be rites of passage and so forth, where the young men were taught how to be men, and the young women were taught how to be women. You know, and it's been said that the introduction of this idea of teenage, it was done for commercial reasons to reduce this other development. Because the young children would go from, at a certain age of puberty, they would go from childhood to womanhood, and from childhood to manhood. There was no teenage. Mm-hmm. And this commercial mm-hmm. manipulation is problematic because we don't have these standards of teaching young men how to be men and young women how to be women and how to carry that mm-hmm. responsibility. So the shaitan has made mm-hmm. this thing very problematic by encouraging us to cover up what has been done. You know, when we look at the history of the human family, we see, you know, the roles being distinct. But as we mm-hmm. became more civilized, a certain group saw the benefit in terms of control as well as material gain by covering things up that are very, very, very critical for our human interaction, our human development.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts with the radio audience, with us and the radio audience. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Okay. So we can see what work we have to do. And there's so much in the environment that aids and assists the human being to violence as a solution, rather than argument, a truthful argument, truthful knowledge as a solution. Just to be violent and dominate is not a solution. It's a destructive force. It's a destructive energy that leads to nothing good. So we have to be able to engage the broader community. And if questions arise on the English translations of some passages that are in our Holy Quran, how we can best defend the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in our holy book, and not adopt this as a standard of our understanding, but to be able to address some English translations in the best way, inshallah. So we've got an hour already, Sister Bina, you know. So
yes.
Inshallah, we're gonna transition and get ready for our next segment. And for the next segment, last week we did invite two of our brothers to come on to the show and talk about the next topic that is also a big topic in why marriages fail, and that is finance. So we mm-hmm. want to, if they are available, invite Imam Adam Bia and Imam DeLacy Uma to the show and talk about these matters of finance and how the stress that it puts on the relationship, and what Allah says about this in our Holy Quran, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do our due diligence and play our public service announcements, and when we come back, inshallah, we will have some other guests with us if they are available this evening. If not, we understand, mm-hmm. but we pray that they are.
mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be right back with you after these public service announcements. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, The Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm Resident Imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class, where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back. We are back. Thank you for sticking and staying with us. And we're transitioning into our next subject, and that subject is finances. Finances. And in Al-Islam, our view on finances, our reliance on finances is somewhat different than the mainstream view. Our financial health should not lead us to the appetite of greed, becoming greedy, wanting more and more and more and more. Because financial health and the more that we are blessed to have gives us more responsibility for those around us. We understand that we are custodians of the Ummah, and Ummah is a word that is used for the community life, especially the community of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We're custodians of the Ummah, and during the time of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the distribution of zakat, taking care of the community, then the community evolves to a city, and the city evolves and it expands and it expands. During the time of establishing the Islamic system in Al-Islam, there had to be expansion to find people to help, to find more people to help, to uplift. So it was always about uplifting, engaging, becoming established in business and not for the sake of being wealthy, but for the sake of taking responsibility for those in society. So we do have one of our invited guests on the line. We're going to open up his mic, and that is we have two, but both of them are here. All praises due to Allah. So the first one on is our brother, Delacy Umma, my husband,
yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
And we're going to go and open up. Yes.
Peace and
go
blessings
ahead.
To everyone. Peace and blessings.
Alhamdulillah.
Delacy Umma, Melbourne, Florida.
Okay, and our next guest is 910-527. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show. And this is Brother Imam Adam Bia, the money man.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
What was that last description you used?
The money man.
I didn't want to say the tax man. I said the money man.
Okay.
A very, very good understanding of finances and money and how it elevates society and how it is a support for the society. So when we look, as Muslims look at money and finances, it shouldn't be a cause for marriages to break up, but just the opposite. You know, so we wanted to let you all have the mic and talk about this how we have to change this paradigm and shift this paradigm around, inshallah.
All right. Alhamdulillah. I want to say first, salamu alaikum to everyone and to you, Imam Adam. It's a pleasure to be opposite you on the platform here. And Sister Bina and Sister Manira. I do want to circle back to that last topic because every time when Manira was mentioned about the sister came into the room with a black eye, and she said, "Oh, minor disagreement." And I thought about this movie I saw. This young boy was talking to the guy, and he asked him, "Who gave you that black eye?" And the guy told him, "Nobody gave it to me. I had to fight for it." Right? So I was thinking about, you know, we said the sister had the black eye, but I was wondering what condition was the brother in, you know?
Right.
I'm sure where she said, "Oh, minor disagreement, I hate to see him," you know? He probably had more than a black eye. But anyway, that should be humor right there, right? Because we know men ain't the only one be abusing others. Yeah. So don't blame us with everything. Sometimes we be fighting for our life. All right, finance. You know,
I got the joke. I got the joke.
Yeah, and look, I'm from New Orleans, right? And you don't beat up women. You be ducking it most of the time. Ducking pots flying at you. And I watched my grandmother just beat my granddaddy. He could not whip her. You know? So he'd be out, she'd just scoop him up, whoop, throw him out and pound him. And I said, "Grandma," I used to like to hear her tell the story, so I said, "Grandmother, when you did that," she said, "Yes, son, he'd be out all night, then blaming me, asking me where I've been and what I'm doing." And then she said, I'll just go over there by that sink with all them big iron skillets. If he get up and act like he want to do something, I'm going to lay him out," right? So it ain't always men who do that violence now. Anyway, back to the financial issue here. You know, in the Quran, Allah sets some standards, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah set some standards for us in terms of how to marry. And the first one is, as our imam say, the dowry is a process that qualifies the man to get a wife. He needs to first qualify by first having assets enough to marry. And then there's the dowry. And, you know, Allah talks about this in the Quran, even in the time, in the terms of polygamy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins in Surah Nisa, saying what the man is, his marriage capabilities are, marry one or two or four, and all the orphans one's hands may possess. And if you feel you can't do justly by that, then marry only one. And you know, so in orphans, when they are in care of the men and families, they have resources. Allah talks about squandering the wealth of the orphan. So there's another aspect where there is a maintenance of orphans, and they have resources. And under in Islam, you pay zakah on what remains with you. You know, this is one of the beautiful things about zakah. Your wealth is always taxed with zakah. So it's not, so for instance, if an orphan has wealth and it's not invested or put to use earning more revenue, that orphan's money can be taxed. It can be paid in zakah. It's subject to zakah. So it's not exempt from zakah if they have over the limit. So Islam encourages us. It encourages business. It's encouraged business investment so that our wealth doesn't diminish. It's always increasing, and we are always looking to reinvest it, because if we just set on it, it'll just fade away. It would deteriorate and go away. So this is one aspect I think we have to be aware of about wealth. And the other is maintaining, as you all mentioned earlier, men are protectors and maintainers of women. And Allah says it very clearly, because they spend on them from their wealth, and they have been given the strength more than the women. And that strength, as y'all definitely said, it's just physical, and it also, the man also has the ability to work round the clock, 24/7, so to speak. Women have other obstacles, children, take care of labor, other issues that the women have to be accounted. They're not able to produce as much, and there's still discussions in American society about the discrepancies in pay, but I don't think they take into account all of the factors that keep women from not being as successful as men. You know, the Quran has addressed it very well. So I'll just put those things on the table, the orphans, how we are charged to take care of the orphans, money, how it has to be managed, finances, how it has to be managed, dowry, how that's a mandatory thing that has to be given to the woman. And we can have some discussions about that, how that works. And also maintenance for the women, and examples on how that works. We would like to look at that. And then even after divorce, the man is required to maintain the women if the divorce is not for any illicit reasons, or the woman herself doesn't seek the divorce. the man is required to make sure she is provided for on a reasonable scale. So with that, Brother Adam, I defer to you. And inshallah, all those things need to be discussed, I think, in this particular topic. And I'm sure I missed something.
Again, assalamu alaikum, and Brother Delicious, it's an honor to be on the show with you too, brother. I appreciate your words, but let's start out. You know, probably most of the Muslims on this line are probably first generation Muslims, especially if they came in. Back when I came in, I think when you might have come in, and I came into Islam from the project, raised by a single parent, right? And I had no idea about family life, other than what we went through. And my home was not a good model because my mother worked. You know, you talked about in this society the women don't make as much as the men, and that really is not true.
Yeah.
For African Americans, for the most part.
I agree. Yes.
The women end up a lot of times made more money than the men. I know my mother married. The first husband she married after my father died, and I was 1 year old when my father died. And he had a little job. He worked out at the local funeral home in High Point. Well, my mother worked for Internal Revenue Service. So I'm sure she made more than he did. And, you know, I'm sure it weighed on him. He would drink a lot of times, and I think the only thing he had of superiority over my mother was his fist. He couldn't outthink her. Couldn't out-earn her. You know what I mean? And I guess in his way, he just couldn't deal with it. So I first learned about the requirements of marriage when I became a member of the Nation of Islam. And it was taught to us, taught to me, that you probably heard it, what the man earns is for the family, and what the woman earns is his.
It's hers,
that right?
Yes. Yeah, it's hers.
I mean, it's hers.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's hers. I'm sorry, shoot. It's hers.
Yes, sir.
So I was taught that. So when I got married, it wasn't no question. You follow me? You know, because that's the way I was taught.
Yeah. You know,
so
I'm
not sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just briefly say, one of the reasons I wanted to have this a little more discussion on this topic, because I've talked to young Muslim men, and they and that idea that you have, they feel that the woman has to do her share, and women, they feel like that. Somebody, the women of today, they really don't want to accept that they have to do that. And I know some do, and this is not everyone, but that you know, they want to do their share. They want to contribute to the relationship. And you know, Allah mentions that's all right for them to be that way in the Quran, but the obligation is still on the man. So I just want it's a gift to the man. We have to make sure that our young people know these things. That's the point I'm making.
I understand, but they didn't get that idea from Islam. They got that idea from popular culture.
Yes, that's right.
They didn't get that from Islam.
That's right.
They got it from popular culture. Now, when you, let's say if I look at the immigrant community, that the young people are growing up and they're getting married and whatever, because they come from a culture that they operate that way, it's not a question. A lot of them don't, they don't even want their women to go out and work.
Right.
So they've already lived in that kind of environment, and they've acclimated the education process to their children, right?
Mm.
But if you look at young people in the popular culture, they already got. I mean, I do talks with young people. They already got the women working, and she's paying half of this or whatever. That's unusual for me because that's not the way I was brought up.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the downfall of that. The downfall of that is that they end up living a lifestyle based on both incomes.
Yes.
What happens if the women get pregnant and is not working for a job that has employee benefits that accounts for that?
Yeah.
When they find out that income can't be counted on, what do they turn to now? Credit card. You follow?
Yes.
Which is a killer for finance. It is a killer for finance.
Okay. So we do have a caller in the queue. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, you can go ahead and finish your thought, and I just wanted to, then we'll bring in the caller.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. But that's basically it. And I want to get into something else later on, just to put it out there so I can remember. But
okay.
When I was growing up, they had a class in high school called Home Economics. Y'all remember that?
Yeah,
we'll come
back
to that in a minute. We'll come back to that in a minute. Go ahead, Sister Mia.
Okay. All right. 708-698. Thank you for your patience. We're opening your mic. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, assalam, Sister Manira. This is Sister Layla. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. So good to hear your voice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And assalamu alaikum, Bina, and our dear brother Imams. I'm going to be
Walaikum assalam, Layla. Good to hear you.
I just wanted to say that I'm enjoying the conversation, and just a couple of things to consider when we're talking about these very sensitive conversations. Marriage is the foundation of humanity. When man and woman come together, that's humanity. And it's very serious. And I would like for us to consider and remember how serious it is. And also to consider that it came to my mind, Sister Manira, when you said that the financial problems are causing problems within the marriage. And I do, everybody, the statistics say that you argue about money when you marry. But I think when it's the problem, it's because it is the abuse of it, because the hitting, physical abuse between any human being and another human being, if there's a factor foundation, I should say, not factors. The foundation of it is a power and control. So
yes.
You're not going to hit another person unless you have gotten to the real primal space of trying to control that other person. But then you have financial abuse too. So I just want to consider that it's
it's not necessarily the finance and that we're not doing it right. It's the abuse of it.
Mm.
Even with the money, in African-American families, yes, I totally agree with you, Brother Nam, that our men don't get the best jobs. Our women do. And that's, we know why that is. That's how they manipulate our families. However, what women are fighting for is that if my male coworker is a banker and I'm a banker, then I should be getting paid like them.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? If that's what the equal pay is about, it's about, if I'm, and that does not happen. I'm going to tell you, every job I've ever had, in every place that I've ever worked, and I've worked in Muslim places and non-Muslim, the man that does the same job may be doing it not as well as me, but he don't get paid more than me if he's a man. I was even told by one person that, oh, well, he's a man, he got to take care of his family. But I was a single mother. So it's not a black and white. Maybe that's what my comment is.
No.
It's not a black and white. Let's consider the whole picture and let's be real serious, inshallah, about this subject.
Yes.
Let me also say that the same is true for the man. He doesn't make as much as his white counterpart. He hasn't been, historically speaking.
That's right.
Doesn't make
that's
as much
right.
as his white counterpart. So I was trying to lead up to a couple of points in how to make finances, how very much you get, not a problem.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Layla, for calling in and sharing your thoughts and concerns with us. We greatly appreciate it.
And opportunity to continue to listen and learn. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. And brothers, imams, when we look at finance, our circumstances parallel are the circumstances of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad as it developed coming out of Jahiliyyah society and establishing business was the solution because the believers at that time could not rely on the pagans to be the custodians of their financial development or to hire them or to even use the money coming out of that lifestyle. Just as, like you said, the African-American doesn't get paid as much as his white counterpart. And there's an issue with the African-American man not making as much money as the woman. Okay, how do we adopt the same model that Prophet Muhammad set forth, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in developing the Islamic economic system and establishing business, pushing our African-American young men to go into business and be businessmen and not job seekers so that they can make more money than their wives? How do we follow the same processes?
Well, let me say this. The solution to me, everybody got to go into business. That's not the solution.
Say that again. Say that again.
The solution isn't that everybody has to go in business.
Okay.
That's not the solution. All right? Everybody's not going to go into business. That's the reality of it. I know people that sober-minded in the
You're fading in and out on us. I don't know if you can adjust your mic. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So, you know, they are sober-minded in their decisions. They're spending money, the reality of their situation. Don't go shopping when they're hungry. Go to the store, buy something they see because they see it. So things like that. And I talked about home economics. Because the first business you have is your home. You treat your home as a business. Making sound decisions, extravagant, within your means, the things we need to teach children. Get a great job or get a $125 a year job, alhamdulillah. Just don't let your appetite inflate. You think you're getting paid. Decision. You do it. We're talking about in the home. This is a discussion where marriages break up because of the economics, right? So that's in the home. That's in the home. So we have to look at it in that situation. But everybody, I haven't studied up on the economic environment during the time of the prophet to the point that, but I tend to think that people had some type of business because they didn't have jobs like that we have right now. So rather than go and study that model, with the Medina model and all these things, let's look at the model what we have here and how we can live this in this environment on outside of what Allah has dictated us in our religion. Let's do it right here in this society because it can be done. It can be done. And I think when the man came up with various programs and things we do, it was in light of where we are in this society. He said, well, cooperative. You know, in a local area, why don't you so it's nearby together? Why don't y'all live in a certain geographical area and start creating a neighborhood there? That makes sense. You can't do that all over the country. That means that's a model that everybody where they live has to do. There are many things that we can do. And that's what we need to investigate.
Yes. We definitely need a fresh look at managing and cooperative. I was listening to the earlier program where he was talking about collaboration and how we need to develop that. I call that a sacred unity, how we need to work on seeing our unity as the key to building. And that starts in the local communities. That's really right. Correct. Yes, and I think our brother Shaib was saying that too. All politics are local, right? Yes.
You better pay attention to local stuff because I'm geared up towards local stuff around here because I see what's trying to transpire, and I try to keep my voice there on local stuff.
Yes. Okay, we have another caller. I'm going to go back to him and open his mic. And that's 334-419. Welcome back to the show. You wanted to weigh in on this topic?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam.
Both of the presenters are presenting information that we need to look at as foundational. When Imam Muhammad came into office, and gave us the picture of community responsibility. The early public talks dealt with, you know, well, do you have a budget, a family budget? Sister, you're in charge of, you know, the menu in the house. Don't establish your menu best based on how you feel and your taste. I got a taste for this and a taste for that. instead of sticking to what the family can afford, you know. And as Brother Adam talked about, getting beyond the means and using credit cards, which is a downward spiral towards economic slavery. But the critical issues that the imam put before us, even telling business people, well, look, before the model came out, he was telling business people that he was lecturing, look, why don't you combine your businesses? And the example is like Dunkin' Donuts and the ice cream place, you know, and other things that we're seeing now. He was talking that before it came into being, inviting businessmen and women to establish the model where you can cut your costs down. You know, the problem is we didn't connect with that, and I'm going to say leadership did not consider those to be critical issues and give us the history of Prophet Muhammad outside of our own circumstances. You know, beautiful lecture, but not where the rubber meets the road. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. And what you said is so on point, especially now dealing with brick and mortar businesses. For retail spaces, it puts you in a situation of struggle for utilities and insurance and things like that. But if a space can be, a larger space can be broken down into smaller spaces, and believers with businesses share this larger space and manage those utilities and insurances and things like that, and then you can draw business in from each other's clientele and create more foot traffic and everything to help and assist with the development of business until someone gets too big for the space and they can move out and bring another smaller business in. So that type of thinking is really, really key to our survival. And another location that has shared retail spaces, KFC and Taco Bell. You'll see the two of them in one facility as well. So that is a good model, but I digress. Getting back to our guests, you want to pick back up on the topics that you would like to talk about?
Well, personally, I just wanted to make mention of the financial, the topics in marriage and family that reference finance, reference managing money, reference distribution of money, et cetera. You know, we also took a look at the imams inviting us to see zakat as the Islamic economic system. You know, there's a lot to be said on these things, and I guess that's what I wanted. I wanted our attention, just the thought processes, to start looking at the things that Allah invites us to in the Quran concerning finance, business. You know, the Imam also said the Quran, our business partner. You know, so our also, we don't see our financial life different from our human life, our family life, our community life. All of those things work together. And basically, there's a lot to be said on this topic, and I guess that's what I wanted to bring to the table, that is something that we need to look at in a more complete and thorough way. So, Brother Adams, I defer back to you because your interest in looking at our present situation and how that can be managed, I think, is very important. Also, if you want to share some more thoughts with us on that, I'd appreciate hearing more of that line.
And you wanted to tie home economics into that, and if you wanted to do. I didn't want you to lose that thought as well.
Well, you know, I'm saying that first business, right? That's the first business. How to manage your resources to take care of your situation. How to manage resources, and not try to manage something you wish you had, but something that you do have, your current situation. So in the situation where, in the old time, it was the women that were taking care of the home, and they were the first business managers. The brother would work to bring the resources in. We don't necessarily go to that right now. It would be nice if we could, but the reality is practicality. Because of the way this world is that requires our attention financially, inflation hit, the price of groceries go up. If the prices that if the money that you earn is not growing consistently with the inflation, that puts you in a bad situation. All right. So the home economics part, the economics part of that is to make sure that the resources that we do have is utilized in the way that takes care of the family, feeds your children, buy clothes for the children, keep your house over your head, those types of things. That's the first line. Now, so I just wanted to say that about home economics, that the first business.
In reference to that, I was talking with a PhD in education, and she pointed out the fact that was one of the biggest tragedies that ever happened when they took home economics out of the classroom, because she felt that was a devastating occurrence for our, especially minority and developing families, your poor and economically maybe deprived families, not to have those skills on managing the household and managing resources. That was something that was very important. So you did hit on something that I think is very, very important. That type of training used to be commonplace, and it was just taken out. It's not important.
Well, as you know, Robert Kiyosaki, in one of his books, he wrote that Americans lack an adequate financial education. And that's the average American, lacks an adequate financial education. So the things that they do and succumb to, it's not hard to beat them out of something, right? Because they don't know. They don't know. In America, you got to have a financial education. Otherwise, you're going to fall victim. I like to tell people, we live in a capitalistic society. And if you don't know the rules of capitalism, you're going to get capitalized on every time. Right? And you have people just 24/7 trying to figure out a way to beat you out of your money. Scam you out of your money. Dealing with the internet. I started getting a lot of emails this year. Who I never know, don't know, said they want me to do their taxes. And they attached a link for me to download the tax form. And so I said to myself, am I dumb or am I stupid? If I don't know you, I don't download nothing at all. Because I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to put a virus on my computer. So we got to know that. I had a client, he was overseas. He was going back to Yemen for a minute. And he sent me an email he got, because he was trying to log on the IRS website. And he sent me an email he got that someone said he owed $3,000 in taxes for 2021 and $800 tax for 2022. So I looked at his tax file. I said, man, you don't owe that. I said, don't try to pay it. Again, that's a scam. So that's happening 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do it. get your money. So you got to know that. And there are no get-rich-quick schemes, you know. Because when I was growing up in the project, the OG in the neighborhood told us young guys, he said, look here. He was showing people that are coming through the community, that's a mark. He's going to get beaten. He said, the perfect mark is the one that has larceny in their heart. Think about that. They want something for nothing. They're the ones you beat. And we can't forget about those things. But getting back to what we need to do, I still think we need to teach good, sound economics to our children, especially if we're preparing them for marriage. We got to teach that. And we got to find a way to do that and give them examples and show them that. And while when we have the class, you know, record it, another room, video, so the adults can look at it. We don't want the children to think they need it.
Adam, please share with us some things that I remember on the GracelineCommunityInc.org website. There was financial literacy being done.
Right.
Share with us some information on that, if you would, briefly. Since you mentioned the class,
have,
I think that was an excellent example.
Yes, sir. We had one coming up, but we had a class where we talked about the 50-30-20 plan. It's an excellent plan. And you can, we're developing an interactive website where you can go in and plug in your particular individual things, and that shows you how much you need, how much you need to do, and what you want, and how much you're putting up for the future, right? So, as a matter of fact, this Thursday, if I might, Sister Nephi, if you don't mind, this Thursday, in a sense, we're going to talk about Graceline, and so definitely tune in, and we'll give you all the websites and things you can get to join. You can join, go to the website, Graceline.
CommunityInc.org.
Oh, let me see. GracelineCommunityInc.org, yeah. Go there and scroll down and join. It doesn't cost anything to join. Click the join link, and then you'll be notified when we have these seminars and things, which is designed to give people the financial information they need in order to be successful.
Wonderful.
Right?
Alhamdulillah. So our time is moving so fast. We have 15 minutes left in our show, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. I'm always looking, you know, what we're trying to do here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage, to try and bring to the forefront things that are needed for us to have healthier, happier marriages, and how we can help and assist each other, and as male, from male to female, in this in 2024, where marriage is definitely the most sound option for building good individual and community lives. So we talked about the home being the first business, and the topic was brought up about working and living inside your means and not getting into debt, and supporting each other in that way, and just managing our finances well. And this is very good information for young couples to take heed of. Another thing that is a deterrent for some young men is that, one, they don't seem to think that they have enough finances, and that if in the event the union does not work out what they do have, the sister's going to get half of it. Now, we can't really do it too much justice in the 13 minutes that we have left, but foundationally speaking, how would you all address those concerns? Okay, let's dissect this. I know that's a big topic, right? So
that is.
If
settle it, I hope.
Inshallah. If the young women are educated,
you don't be involved. I'm glad you came in, so you don't be involved.
Yeah, if the young women are educated more, if we start with the home being the first business, and young women are educated more with finances and running the home and making the home a productive financial environment, would that take some of the burden off of the brothers, off of the young brothers?
Well, I mean, it seems to me he's already looking at the death of the union, worrying about how much you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And not seeing how much he can gain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, it the more you have to care for it, the more that strengthens your muscles and moves you to step up. Get you in the long run.
Okay.
If I had to start there with him, I'm not starting in the place that I can build on, because his thinking is already messed up.
Yeah, and one of the things Allah has addressed that in our Holy Quran as well, where that should not be an issue. Because you want to go into marriage with a contract. You want to go into marriage with a contract. And we knew them back in the day as prenups. And it was, why do I have to have a prenup? You don't trust me? You know? No, we have a prenup. We have a contract because Allah tells us to reduce it to writing. Transactions involving a future period of time are to be reduced to writing. And that keeps things clear, so you won't have to lose half, you know. If that is your concern, you can address that concern in a contract where, while you're sound and sober, you can enter things into a contract to help you with the process in the event of the marriage not working. What do you say to that?
But at this juncture, if he's just getting ready to get married, he don't have half to lose.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases.
He's worried about losing something he might get later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, contracts can be updated during the... Yeah, and contracts can be added to and changed as long as both people agree. As you do start to accumulate, you can update those contracts.
Yeah.
Is that true? Yeah.
Yes, you can.
So then the process then remains foundational element in helping to alleviate those fears. So you don't have to have that fear of loss. Allah does not want us to live with a fear of loss or to be taken advantage of. That's why we have contracts.
Yeah. Well,
yes, we can.
He's banking on him to dig. He's banking on him hitting the bid. Who's going to win?
Yeah.
I mean,
alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but he's not thinking right. But again, that even a better reason why education is needed.
I heard that particular concern mentioned on the female solution. Imam Kareem did a topic on this. He and the sister, they did a topic on why men don't want to marry. And one male came on and he stated that as a factual matter, that he didn't feel that he needed to give up half of his livelihood to someone. I wanted to say this. I may as well say this, put this on the table, because, you know, there's been some observations where sisters are actually getting big dowries and just using that as an economic process, then divorce and do it again. Divorce and do it again. Now, this is something I heard. I'm repeating what I heard. I heard it from a person I respect. So, but that's, you know, this is, these type of things, I think, make the process difficult. It makes the process difficult where we don't have sincerity. We don't bring sincerity to the marriage, to the process. I should say the process, because it's a whole process we are talking about, financial process in this particular topic. So I think that's something that we have to be aware of, that people are, you know, Allah uses the language in the Quran, do not make small of Allah's signs. Do not make small of these things, where men would be, even in that time, marrying and divorcing and remarrying, you know, at the very end of the period of Iddat, and et cetera, et cetera. And Allah cautioned them, and rules were set up that if you divorce two times, and the third time, you can't go back to the wife. She has to marry someone else. So people bring a lot of insincerity to the marriage. And I think that's something that has to be, we hope that Muslims don't have that, but we know that these, as you mentioned, Adam, we were the first generation Muslim, second generation. And for us, first in my family, you know. So we are new Muslims. We are new Muslims. And these things have to be taught. They have to be discussed.
Yes. And
excuse me.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say we had a couple of callers in the queue that might want to get in and chime in before we
show.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dina. 708-698, I'm coming back to you. Your hand is still raised. Did you want to chime in on these topics that we're discussing?
No, I'm going to yield. I didn't know my hand was still raised. Excuse me.
Oh, no problem. No problem. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. We'll go to our caller that we haven't heard from, 914-434. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. And then we'll come back to 334.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif. Yeah, can you hear me?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir.
Of
Melbourne, New
York.
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess,
go right ahead.
I'm basically repeating what has been said before about taking economics out of the classroom. That was a death blow. Only way we're going to be able to get that back is go to where Imam Muhammad told us the four birds. Number one priority, education, business, culture, and government. If we don't establish our schools first priority, then we're on a losing track.
Mm-hmm.
How are our people going to know if we don't have an education system to teach them?
Yeah.
From the time they're born, this should be an environment of teaching. And how, where are we going and we only have 5 or 6 full-time schools in the Imam Muhammad's community. We got thousands in this community. You got 5 or 6 full-time schools. That means someone else is going to be teaching your children. So our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're going to go into somebody else's way. And we are on a losing track if we don't make our first priority education.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my
comment. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you for calling in and chiming in on this topic. All right. 334-419, we're coming back to you. Did you want to chime in on this topic?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum again. Imam Muhammad shared with us the nature of manhood is that women depend upon men. That was demonstrated in the life of Prophet Muhammad before permission to marry more than one wife. The Prophet and those students of his accepted responsibility for widows and orphans without the benefit of marriage. Oftentimes that's not talked about when we talk about this issue of more than one wife. And lastly, the devil has introduced an environment whereby selfishness, this idea of individual happiness instead of the dynamics of the very special nature of marriage and family life, you know, we didn't have men and women thinking, you know, selfishly about their interests above the interests of family. And this idea of happiness is one that is individual, and it's emotional. And when I went to family therapy, the therapist told us that nobody's responsible for your independent happiness. You know, we can enhance one another's happiness, you know, in the environment of husband and wife, family life. But nobody, this idea, I'm not happy. Well, what about fulfillment under God, you know, fulfillment? What about nefsin mutmaina, being pleased with, pleasing God and then being pleased with that? You know, what about that instead of this unrealistic focus and the influences of feminism, you know, so-called equality, you know. But these ones talking about equality, none of them are willing to get in. Most of them are not willing to get down in the ditch and do the real foundational work that holds up the society, plumbing and that sort of thing. They want okay. the corporation suite idea, you know. And so we just have to speak out against these things and speak up for what God says. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments as well. We have run out of time for tonight, but a lot has been brought up and put on the table. And we are in a position where we have to develop processes and streamline processes so that neither male or female is taken advantage of or duped out of or loss is created by insincere intentions. These things have to be put in place in the form of processes. Here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage, we don't think that anyone should get married without a wali. There should be a wali looking out for your interests and looking to see what you're missing during the courtship process. So don't try and get married by yourself. Don't try and get married by yourself just talking to someone, listening, then saying, I do. No. You know, we have to investigate, document, verify, just as you would for anything valuable in your life where you're making an investment. You know, this is a part of the process. It is a part of the process. We don't go into situations this important blindly. So the biggest process is to have a marriage success team where people are looking out for your well-being, and have a financial counselor like Brother Adam, who is a certified public accountant. Use the professional resources in our community, the financial counselors, marital counselors, estate planning. All of these resources are part of family life structure. We have to use our resources and do the best planning before you get married. You know, not wait for something to happen, but have information that you need to have a successful marriage. And this financial information is very important because it is a topic that has led many couples to divorce, even knowing what other people's relationships are with money and finances, you know, or do they want money just to have money, or are they interested in uplifting humanity? How do your financial positions, are they compatible with each other? All of this information, you look at it prior to marriage, not looking at it when issues start to arise. This is part of courtship, the time of discovery. So we do have a few minutes grace time. I'd like to give our callers, our guests, the opportunity for some final words on this topic, and let us know if you'd like to come back and finish any thoughts and concerns that you may have. So 9-10-321. Imam DeLacy and Imam Adam B.I., your final comments.
I really have shared just about what I would like. I would just like to remind the listeners who are interested in this topic, you know, that Imam expressed zakat as the Islamic economic system, and that all of these things apply: how to marry, how, what is the dowry, what is due to the wife, etc. How to, and Brother Adam Bia, I appreciate him bringing the practical aspect of how the family needs to be managed and the budget, the idea of a budget with what Michael brought, and et cetera, and managing your finance. All these things are so important. So it's a broad topic. It should be explored. And certainly I like the idea of, and I'm summing up, I guess, a few things here. I like the idea of having classes on these issues, on managing your finances and getting young men prepared to marry and have families, which Imam Adam mentioned so eloquently. So just peace and blessings to everyone.
Alhamdulillah. Imam Adam, your final thoughts and comments?
No. I like what Brother DeLacy, Imam DeLacy said. I think we need to make it part of our culture. And you said let the Quran be your partner. But the Quran shows us what our actions should be and how we do business with people. I mean, you know, there's certain things the Quran is our standard of behavior in anything that we do. Whether it's business, whether it's family, anything, that should be our standard of behavior. Inshallah, to pray Allah that people can do that and be true to that.
Okay, thank you so much. And we thank you both for, you know, giving your time and effort and energy to tonight's program and sharing your thoughts and experience with us. We greatly appreciate it. So this information is in the archives for those who are listening and you want to share this show with someone that is considering marriage. Please feel free. You can email us at halaqa360@yahoo.com, halaqa360@yahoo.com. We'll be happy to send you out the link to tonight's show. Bina, you have any final comments you'd like to make?
I was just enjoying all the good information that was being shared and putting it in the reservoir for the future, inshallah.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. We're going to remind everyone to listen to this show tomorrow morning.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So that's a wrap for us this evening. We're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out with Fearing Thee. And please come back next week and bring a friend with you as we continue on these important topics, addressing how our Holy Quran gives us guidance to avoid the 20 common pitfalls of marriage in the United States. So join us next week, same time, same channel.
Oh, 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 yeah. Man was born to go. Was born to win that battle. Fearing thee is what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. A country man came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down. Made him love enough to go out and face the world. Fearing thee, firmly, neighborly, making a life believe.
Loving
a creature of fear, performing dry tears.
Fearing
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners. False wives are winning. Giving thee. So I made him rave enough to go.
Loving thee,
loving thee, made him brave enough to go out.
Fearing thee,
fearing thee, was what made him brave enough to go out and face the world.
Brave enough to face the world.
A country man, dear, came up from the rear.
Loving
cut him out, things went over down. Firmly, maybe they make it in like
all the
oh,
Lord to
never count him out. They went over down. Fearing thee, loving thee, making a life for thee. Countryman dear, came up from the rear.
Loving
made his home on the sweet earth down here. Never cared about first friends of a doubt. Poor lost sinners, poor squares are winning. Fearing thee is what made him love enough to go out and face the world.
And in all things we fear displeasing Allah. We fear displeasing Allah in all things. Again, thank you for being here with us this evening. And until next week, on behalf of our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and myself and our guests, we extend to you the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum.